And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 243. I am Silas Lindenstein.
I'm Samantha Rund.
And this is the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably.
I'm just waiting.
We do not have an animal in studio. That was Samantha Rund making that nay sound. Yeah.
She is starring in the next film, Mistress Ed. As a voiceover actor.
I was going to say, she's available for all your films, whether live action or animated. She will perform in them. This is a New Year's episode. A New Year's resolutions. I looked up the history during this episode of the Chinese Zodiac calendar and the meanings on them. I discovered something about myself that I had misinterpreted my whole life. And Chinese food restaurants are apparently wrong. They taught me the wrong things my entire life, but now I know better. And now you know better going into 2026. That's about it. Did you want to tell anybody anything? You look.
Nay. No, I don't know. It's like, oh my gosh.
You look like you have things to say.
There's so many things to say. What's going on with me right now?
You get to hear Samantha almost cuss multiple times. I
watched too much news and now I'm on fire. Not for real. That would be horrible.
So
feisty.
I don't know if you actually even swore during the episode or if you just swore.
I bleeped myself.
You did confuse me because I thought you had just sworn and I hadn't caught it. And then I was like, did she just edit herself before she said it?
My intention was so clear and loud
that it went into my ears regardless. Mm-hmm. So that's a skill. Samantha, you made me say swears that were not actually said in my head.
Thank you.
I said it in my head. Yeah. So, so that's the episode. Come listen, spend some time with us. Listen to us during your lunch hour. Whatever you listen to it, just, sit back, relax, open your hearts, open your ear holes and listen to Black and a Half. Episode number 243.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle, probably. Yes, this is Black and a Half, hosted by Silas Lindenstein and Samantha Rund. Black and a Half.
Well, happy New Year, Samantha.
Happy New Year, Silas.
It was a 2025 was a 2025. You know, it was what it was, and it's over. It is weird to mark the calendar, I think, by a certain day. Just like, hey, 2025, like everything's new suddenly. It's a little weird, I think, especially because Chinese New Year is a different day.
I was actually just thinking it's not universal either.
Right. So, but. Also, I get torn because, like, I had good things and bad things happen in 2025. And so me saying that 2025 was a crap year for me, then I feel like that takes away a little bit from these good things that happened. And because I'm like, I'm some good things. My daughter went to college. That's good. It's just the overwhelmingness of some of the negatives made it feel like, oh, okay, 2026, new era, fresh start, go forward.
I think part of it, too, is like the timing in which the difficult things happen, too. Like, how do you mean? I would imagine that some of the harder things happened closer to the finish of, like, if they had happened right at the beginning of 2025 and were like more complete in like the first 3 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Gretchen's like, surgery was in, I think it was in March or April. So it just hasn't recovered fully, even though.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's no getting away around like that was like I mean, saying that was hard is like an understatement. I just mean that right. if that was like everything was completed healing and everything, and that was yeah. like all completed by like February or March, and then you had all the things that felt like good things happen towards the end of 2025,
right?
You would have had a skewed, not like skewed, but you know what I'm saying?
They were sprinkled though. The good things were like sprinkled throughout, and the rough thing were all like all at once.
And also so, though, like it's also the weight of it too, like the weight of the rough things versus the weight of the good things.
Yeah. It is a, I don't think I ever actually, like I always use the phrase the weight. I don't think they ever felt like weights until this year or last year. Like that, I felt like, oh, now I get that. I felt the weight of pressure last year. Not that I never had pressure before like it, but like as things positive happened, I did like feel like a 30-pound weight came off of my shoulders. Like it became a more literal, like, oh, I think I really get that expression now.
Oh yeah. Like, there's things that, well, I'm just imagining from what you're saying, right? I don't know specifically, but I think I know, right? But I mean, like there's weight and then there's weight. And then there's stuff that like you don't even realize was weight until you experience. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like there were certain things I thought were hard in my life before I had experienced like hard things.
Right.
I had experienced some hard things when I was a kid, but then I'd gotten like, you know, so many years has passed and blah, and then it was like a different, like next level hard stuff. And sometimes when people would even tell me like, oh, just do X, Y, and Z, or just, oh, you can, I'm like, you don't effing know what's going on. Like you would just be like, girl, get out of bed and breathe. And that is a victory.
Yeah.
You just like, there's it's no. True. Yeah.
So I'm, you know, and it's also weird because of like, I'm thinking of business cycles too. Like the cycle doesn't necessarily of my business doesn't necessarily match a calendar year. Like, so it's like, oh, new year. I can start all everything new. And it's like, well, not really. Nothing's really going on right now. So there's not a lot of people doing things. So I can't really start. I can't like, all right, I'm going to get out there and grab someone who's wants to buy today. Cause I'm like, need to actually wait a couple months. Mm-hmm. No one's going to let, you know, I have people that want to do things, but we're kind of waiting for the timing to be right. So it's hard to, I really like, there's an expression that business begets business.
And work begets work.
Yeah. Work begets work. So I also think like doing nothing begets doing nothing. Like I'm not doing anything. I don't have something to do. So I'm like, let me do more of something that's not important. Whereas if I was like, oh, I got a listing over here and I help find these buyers right now. So, oh, let me work on this other work thing. Like it makes me want to work on work things when I'm doing work. And if I'm not doing work, I'm like, is there a new guitar song I could learn?
Yeah. I mean, I heard of the difference of working on your business and working in your business.
Yeah. There's that too. Yeah.
I feel like you're, I was like, step into my office. And I feel like you're saying there's so many, I feel like there's something deep too, that you're working on too, you know, and like the difference between internal work and external work too, like not just business work, but like as a human, like there's the business work, what we're talking about, internal work and external work. But then there's also like a human work of internal work and external work. And I think I'm just kind of like tying it back to the hard, internal hard, external hard, or like some of the hard that's unexpected to be so hard. Cause it's like iceberg hard. Like there's so much stuff that other people don't see, right? There's like so much of that. And then too, with the year, it does seem, I mean, I don't know the history of, I haven't looked into the history of why January 1st is is the year. But yeah, we could make those goals any time, any day. It doesn't have to just be January 1st, but it's a nice time when everybody's on board kind of also doing it, more or less, you know.
I'm going to look that up now. Why is that the beginning of the year? Because now all questions can be answered without research.
Yeah.
Which is a wonderful.
Although,
basically,
you have to fact check sometimes, but yeah.
Right. It's a Roman tradition. Pope Gregory. The Julian calendar. Yeah. A fitting nod to the god Janus.
Hmm.
January.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Well,
I heard that last year. So what I heard from my sources, my sources told me, and don't ask me who my sources are because I already forgot, but that last year was the year of the snake and this year is the year of the horse. And supposedly that will make it a better year for people in terms of like,
wait, last year was snake?
Yeah. Shedding old skins. Revelation of bad habits or cycles that needed to break or something like that. Lots of muck getting to the surface. And then the year of the horse, I think, is more forward movement, fruition of your goals, optimism, stuff like that. You know, I've always dreamt of galloping down a grass hill with my hair in the wind, and for the year of the horse, I no longer have to slither among the rocks. I can gallop away. Just
okay. I looked it up. So, year of the horse, year of the fire horse.
Oh, okay.
It starts on February 17th.
Oh, all right.
Until February 5th of 2027.
Okay.
It should be bringing energy, freedom, and passionate adventures.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So it's a combination of the horse sign with the fire element. Happens only every 60 years.
Wow. Okay.
Which amplifies traits like enthusiasm and bold moves.
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling bold.
Makes them. So not just year of the horse, year of the fire horse. I remember always looking at the Chinese food restaurants. They would have mats there and they would have the years listed under symbols
when you're born.
Yeah. And always finding it and always having to look the same, even though I had already looked before. I had to look every single time to see if it changed.
What are you the year of?
I want to say the year of the dragon.
You should look up this stuff.
Again.
Interesting.
This is
fascinating.
Oh yeah, it was the year of the wood tiger.
Interesting.
That's so funny. Honestly, because my parents, because I have the name Silas means of the forest.
Whoa.
Yeah. Huh. I wonder if they knew that. That was the year of the tiger. Well, oh, sorry. Wait a second.
Wait a hot second.
Wait a second. I just read that the Chinese New Year doesn't start until like February.
What?
I was born in January. So I've always looked at 1974 as my year. So I'm now realizing. I might be a different zodiac symbol than I thought, a Chinese zodiac.
That's interesting.
Now I gotta know.
Now you gotta know.
So I'm actually a water tiger. Which is interesting because I'm also Aquarius in the regular zodiac, which is a water bearer.
Right.
But I might clash with the monkey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Water makes you more adaptable and sensitive than other tigers.
Okay. I should actually look up what kind of stuff I am. I'll look that up. I know which I am, but I never thought if it's like a water or a fire of mine. But I'll look that up.
But you know, if you're a year, do you know which?
I know what animal you are. I know which animal it is.
Yeah, what animal.
I'll look that up later.
You don't want to.
You know how secretive I am.
Yeah, you don't want people to know what Chinese zodiac symbol you are.
No, you can't.
That would be
give that away.
How people going to use that?
I mean, it's every password I've ever written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So what do you have a New Year's? I saw some of what you wrote on Facebook, resolution, goals, themes, words. I know I texted you. I was like, I don't want to forget to talk about this, but you go.
I don't know if these are resolutions per se. Some of it is just get back to it. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's my resolution. Get back to it. I want to. Well, I mean, this isn't like I want to improve in guitar and my voice class. I want to get back to that. Like, I want to get back to creating. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. I did book a comedy gig today.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. And I wonder if it was because of my post. I feel like this one guy books me, Robert Pitty. I feel like sometimes I make these long posts and then he books me for something. And I'm like, that can't be a coincidence, can it? I must have posted and made him think of me and go, oh, I need this filled. Let me grab.
Or he's going to have material now.
Or something, yeah. I want to get better at guitar, but that's not getting back to it. I want to be recording more podcasting stuff. I got complimented yesterday when I was recording my home buying podcast. Afterwards, the person was like, she's a friend of mine. And she's like, you're really good at interviewing. I'm like, I should be. It's probably the thing I've done the most of over all the years. And I'm like, I wish that was a job. I mean, I know it's a job. It's just not like,
oh my gosh. Like, okay, wait. Yes. No, there's this lady, Evie. I don't remember her whole name, but anyway, she's like a former CIA or special agent, some sort of operative. And she has, I see her on YouTube and she gives these little master classes and things like that. But listening to her talk about her job, one of her jobs was she would go and she would be the interrogator for like crimes they couldn't solve. Like she was a special agent, like helping to protect one of the presidents.
Okay. I don't think
it was just one or more than one, but anyway, but she also was talking about how she would interview and, you know, some of the stuff she's talking about with how you talk and how you come in the room and how you are, depending on how you approach a person, like so much of the stuff is like act, like what you learn in acting that most people don't think about, right? Your body and your voice and all of that. But just hearing her, I'm like, I too would like to be paid to interview people. I don't think I want to be like hardened criminals or dangerous, you know, but actually just getting to talk to somebody and ask all these questions and then being paid to do that.
Which I guess would be journalism, probably more likely.
I don't know.
I saw that there's.
I don't have to write a story afterwards.
Yeah.
Unless, well, I mean, I do. Well, like
eventually,
writing.
You don't have to. That's like the starter job is writing the story. I was looking up jobs in Seattle, and I did find a reporter. Like one of the stations is like looking for a reporter, and I think I see that kind of job occasionally open. But it mentions working for the Sinclair Group. And I'm like, I can't do that. Ugh. And then the Wolf radio station needs a part-time on-air personality. That's the country station. Oh. But it pays. That pay is horrible.
Oh.
Like, plus you're like, I think you're like probably the fill-in person.
Yeah.
And you need to know all this stuff on how to use all this audio equipment on audio things. And I'm like, really? For personality? Yeah. You want personality to know how to do this stuff? Edit. I got personality. I'll figure it out. But I don't know if the country, I don't know if the country vibe would be for me, for one. I feel like a poser. I would say.
Just get you the right costume and take you out to do some line dancing. You'll be good.
I think I'd be playing the music and be like, oh God, another one. Not that I hate all country. I do like my percentage of country that I like has gone up like 300% from the beginning of, from 1 year ago, I'll say, after my Nashville trip. I'm a little more, I'm open to the country a little bit more. Bunch of it I'm still shut down from, but I like me some Chris Stapleton. I'll tell you that.
I don't know enough of the names. I really don't.
You don't know Chris Stapleton?
I think I've heard of that name at one point, like right now.
Yeah, he's like
I did hear of the name before, but I don't.
He did a song with Bruno Mars and Ed Sheeran.
I don't know who they are either.
You don't know who Bruno Mars is?
Yes, I know who both of them are.
Okay.
I know who they are.
Like, my God.
It's too easy.
How could you?
Oh, man.
I was going to say, I want to get back to movie reviewing, but then I'm like, I went to a movie today and I was like, maybe I just don't like movies as much as I thought.
Or maybe that movie sucked.
It might have.
Yeah.
I saw Anaconda.
I can't hear that without my, well, I mean, I can sometimes, but my mind immediately went to the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. But it's with Paul Rudd and Jack Black.
Oh.
So
that's a fun combination.
Yeah. And Stephen Zane is in it, or Zahn. I can't decide if it's just a really bad movie or, like, there were some real gut laughs, really funny. It is ludicrous in something. Like, it's stupid. It is stupid in some spots.
Ludacris was in it too, and I was like,
"Oh, that's interesting." No, the original had Ice Cube in it, but if you remember,
No, I don't.
It's like a serious horror film.
Oh, maybe I never saw it then. You know,
probably not. I didn't. I just saw the clips of it. I was like, "This is stupid." Like, this is a movie I feel like I could have watched on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Or somewhere, like, I can't believe I took, like, part of me was like, I can't believe I took a Monday or a Friday morning to go watch this. Like, I don't know if I was just disappointed that the story was nonsensical at times, because I thought the pairing would be great. But Jack Black has really pushed the envelope of comedy now to ludicrous. Like, he used to just do, like, funny, but, like, but playing not the straight man, but the films were like more in a world that's believable and the actions were believable. And I feel like most of the stuff I see him in now, it's not.
Mm.
Other than Jumanji was brilliant. Jumanji was wonderful. He did great at that. But like, this just kind of went, you know, for me, it's like the world of the movie never knew where the lines were.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the person I went with really liked it. And I was like, really?
Are we friends anymore? You were just like, was it family?
I was just surprised. You know, like, I've gone to the movies with this person before, liked the movie, like, both really liked it. Like, oh, so we have a similar taste in movies.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, well, maybe our sense of comedy is not similar. Because
that is interesting. There was somebody who shall remain nameless.
Yeah.
Who seemed like they were pretty nice, decent, but they really liked a lot of douchey comedians that I would just be like, how can you not be a total a-hole and like them? Like, these guys are such douches.
Like the movies? Like, they were movies?
Like podcasts and stuff.
Oh,
or just like,
yeah.
Or like, you know what you're saying, like comedy or certain things they would think were funny. And I didn't think it was funny.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, because sometimes you can be like that. I see now. But like, you know, you don't always know. Yeah, people's taste, it's different. It's you never know. Like, I wonder if we could guess which comedians we like and which ones we don't. Although maybe that should also be off air.
I don't really want to talk about anything. Local comedians?
Publicly. Huh?
Local comedians?
Oh, no. We could talk about that on air all the time. No, just kidding.
I think it's safe to talk about the ones you really like.
Oh, I 100% think it's safe. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I just don't like to do criticisms like publicly, usually.
Because you might hang out with them and it'd be feel awkward.
100%. Clearly. Because we were going to hang out and then they hear me on this podcast because they tune in regularly.
Yeah.
And they just can't.
I'm not listening there.
They can't deal with it.
Though I think we did talk on air. Didn't we talk on air about Bill Burr?
Maybe.
Because you did not like a couple of his jokes.
But I like his comedy.
Yeah.
In general. But yes, there's, and that, you know what? And I do feel okay, I think, with that. If it's like a comedian or somebody that I'm like, I really think, like, I like, I will watch your stuff. I think you're talented. X, Y, and Z, not on board. Did not like that. I don't remember what they are, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'm sure there's some of his that I didn't like. But overall, usually, I think I do.
So this is a comedian I do enjoy what I've seen of him. Nate Bargatze. He has a movie coming out. And it is, I was kind of like, is this 1990? Like, the whole setup of the movie is basically mom leaves town and he's there with his daughters and he's the bumbling dad that is just having trouble. Like, oh my gosh, how does she do with all this? And I'm like,
there's so many guys that are like that still though. Yes. That's why I'm like, Silas, this shows how evolved and equal you are. Like, equal, equitable, I don't know whatever the word is, but there's, I remember, so many
Mr. Mom, that was the plot of Mr. Mom in like 1983 or whatever.
So many man boys and doofuses who still have no idea to like actually parent their child as a full-on parent.
I feel like that's a lot less, like a huge number less. There's a lot of stay-at-home dads now.
Maybe a huge number less, and yet still too many. There still are men who think that watching their kid equals babysitting them. There are.
Like, seriously, though? Or is it the joke?
100%. No, 100%. 100%. Okay, so I don't think I've ever had anybody tell me that, but I have it on good authority from somebody I'm very close to who told me some guy that was trying to date them said, yeah, let me just see... oh no, I can't hang out that day because I have to babysit my kids. And she was like, what? You don't babysit your kids. This year I am swearing this year. It's a fire horse year where I swear and say things on the air.
Because you just say, I watch my kids. I got to watch my kids.
Yeah. You don't say you babysit your kids. What's that wrong with you? Like, geez.
I do wonder if that comes out like how I say potty now a lot, even not around my kids. I just say, oh, I got a potty. Oh, I just got used to saying the word. It's the phrase.
I'm just, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? I've reached my level of F's sometimes. Maybe that's what it is. I mean, I watched the news and I've just reached my level to where I was about to say a few things I probably shouldn't have said on here. But I kind of want to now. Nobody's going to bleep it out.
I just feel like I know so many stay-at-home dads or other dads that get annoyed. Like, that the idea that dads don't know what their men don't know what they're doing with their kid feels a little outdated.
It does.
I don't know if it's worthy of a... Honestly, I feel like Nate Bargatze is such a good comedian. His movie plot should be a little better.
Well, you know what? Maybe the way in which it's done will elevate your expectations are low. And then when you see it, you might be pleasantly surprised, like, oh, that had some nice nuance and stuff I didn't expect. Potentially.
I'm gonna wait for it to stream. I'm gonna wait for it to stream. Probably. I probably won't.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. If I start hitting the movies like I want to again.
I really could vent. I vented on Facebook, but I was so vague on purpose since it was public.
Yeah, you vague book.
On vague book, I was so private that like not anybody commented. I was maybe one person commented. They did like a sad face or care emoji, and I was like, oh, that's nice, but that's not what I was going for. Like, I'm okay. You ever have that? Anyway, but are you looking at it? It was a while ago.
Oh, it was a while ago?
For sure. Yeah, I thought for sure at least some of my friends would know the comedy special I was talking about, and they would know the comedian I was talking about. And nobody... Wow, I'm feisty.
I remember
right now.
This. I remember that post.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
And yeah, I feel like a lot of people knew who you're talking about, but nobody also cared. Well, no, not that they didn't care, but that you don't want to name. Look, I know that you don't want to shit talk.
Yeah.
People that are famous for some reason.
Because so, you know, I just don't like to publicly crap talk. And yeah, but go ahead. Because the famous people are people too.
Yeah, mostly. They're open for criticism. Like, I don't think you never asked a question on it.
I didn't. Oh,
you never asked a question. You said,
Saw. Oh, maybe
not naming names, and you put the if you know.
Okay, thing. Maybe I should have put down. Like, I thought. Okay, I took a while to write it.
You said that joke was not funny.
I did, and do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. I haven't seen this. I'm seeing. I'm assuming it's the goat.
Yeah.
Was it a trans joke?
Yeah, it was real. Okay, fine. Now we're on it. But it was, and it was mean. Like, he's had a joke in the past. I think we actually probably on some of the days when I don't care, maybe I have less F's to give and I do publicly like say crap. Yeah. But he did have a joke before in one of the other specials when people were like, oh, he's a sage of our time. And this and that. I was like, you know what? But I don't like that joke. Like, I still was very much a fan of his at the time. But I was like, that joke was mean spirited. And it's not like one person suffering means nobody else's suffering counts.
Yeah. You know,
that joke was actually aimed at women, though, like having brittle spirits for not. I don't know. And I was just like, you know, let's not. I didn't like that. But I kind of, you know, let that slide a bit because I felt like there was enough joke structure and enough other stuff.
Yeah.
But this last one, part of it is I watched it on Christmas Day. I was so excited. I was like, yay, yay. So excited, so let down.
Hmm.
So sad.
Yeah.
And then also very upset. I thought it was just really mean. And I didn't think it was funny.
The thing is, I think it's hard when someone you've looked up to, it's basically all he represents all old people who they get older and they start saying things and you're like, that's not who I thought you were.
But yes. And I think it's also it's not entirely. Okay. Well, anyway, like I feel like there were a few different things. It's also, I feel like the person gets so much like support. So many people love them. It's yeah. Like, oh, like you don't think you have to do actual jokes anymore. You just went on here. You did maybe like five punchlines. Talk about how you're like people think that you're the greatest. Like you have all like some very mean spirited stuff you do. Talk about how much money you make. Then said that. I don't know. There was one story that they said was supposed to be racist that I was like, that doesn't sound like it's racist. That sounds like the people just don't want you to have a monopoly. Although I don't know the whole, I don't know the full story.
Yeah.
So it could obviously have been racism just from what I heard. It didn't sound like it.
Right.
But I think part of the thing that also really bothers me is not part of it. Definitely some of what bothers me is when people have experienced pain and suffering and people hating them just for being who they are. And then it's like, oh, so you get the freedom to be you, the freedom and safety to be you, but other people shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, I...
It's very weird that he seems to have this blinder spot. Just like, I mean, like the betrayal of J.K. Rowling's, right? Who was fine, seemed progressive, and then just has this one.
How can you write these beautiful stories and then be such a hater?
Yeah. Like, which goes to humanity. Like, people do forget that nobody's a monolith that believes. Probably agree with her in 98% of things, but she's now made that 1% that we disagree on 80% of her personality. You know, like, why are you doubling down? Because nobody said no, or no one's pushed back against you for this long that you're just like, oh, well, you must be wrong. Like, well, I'm right. Everyone's been agreeing with me for a decade, for two decades. So I must be right.
Yeah. Well, if you, and this is not.
Probably. I remember, you know what? Here's, let me tell you. I understand the stubbornness though, but I was a child at the time, right? I was like 16. Cause I remember, and I've talked about this on some podcasts, not necessarily just ours, but like, I remember when I was like 16, hanging out with some friends I had in California that I met for like the summer, and something we were watching, and I made a little joke about gay folks, I guess, in general. Now, I didn't actually even mean it, but they were like, what do you mean by that? And I was like, I want to go. Part of it was like, I'm joking. I was like, I'm doubling down. I don't like the way you just talk to me. So I started doubling down. And I didn't even really like believe in it. But I was just like, I was offhand a comment. I don't really totally buy. And I mean, I look back now and it was, I don't even remember what it was. But I know I now, if I heard it, I would have thought it sounded homophobic. And I think that's what they heard. But I'm like, you guys have known me all summer and you're judging me on this one little point of view I have. And that kind of made me mad. And I'm like, I'm doubling down on it. Now this has become important. And I pretty much lost those friendships in that 20-minute span.
I would imagine, though, after you watch the special, there's no way that that joke was as mean.
No.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the special.
Yeah, no, but I know. That's what I was like.
No, but I remember, I just understand the doubling down. Aspect that people will have, right, like the stubbornness, because I did that and I don't feel good about that. I'm like, that I didn't think it would cost me friendships, and then also like, well, if that cost my friendship, I don't think we were that tight then, because granted we were all kids at the time, but at the time I had been so, I had this warped idea, because I would have been so happy to not be black at the time, because I had so many problems. Being black caused so many problems in my life at the time, so much tension. And for me, it was like, at the time I was like, well, you don't have to, like, you can be gay, but not be out. Like, you don't have to be like that. I can't hide that I'm black. So you should be thankful that you can hide that you're, you know, you can hide that you're gayness, which I now look back and go, that was a me problem. That wasn't, no one should have to hide that they're gay. But it was about me being ashamed that I, like, me wishing that I was Caucasian. I was deflecting it on that, because I, at the time, I didn't think that I was ashamed of it. But I look back and I go like, oh, that was more about me wanting to be different and kind of looking at other folks as like, well, I can't choose it. And you could have, which I was wrong. I was totally wrong.
Oh, well, I'm just thinking, like, I wonder how the whole joke, the whole conversation went. Cause there's like, part of it is true, but also not. Well, depending, some people it's easier to hide than others. And also they shouldn't have to hide, but there is that option. Whereas you don't have the option.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the wrong totally. I just had that point of view at that time in my life. Because I was living in Massachusetts, and at the time they were trying to pass there was a gay civil rights bill that was coming up and so we debated it on a debate. We had a debate like online, not online. We had public access channel like that we ran out of our school. And so we would talk about issues, and that was a debate topic for one of our classes. And they had us go on and do a show about these topics. And that was one of them. And so that's kind of where I started talking about that or thinking about that.
I think that touches on like something that is at the crux of so many of the problems in the world. And it's this sort of people acting like there's not enough resources, or acting like there's not enough, like not enough compassion, not enough empathy for all people, and also not enough resources for people. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. just the I don't know, my mind went somewhere with it.
Like, to outer space.
It did. Yeah, it's a very outer space sort of. And I'm also thinking, I don't know. Who knows what I'm thinking right now? Outer space knows.
Yeah.
Outer space knows.
Okay, what about you though for resolutions? Do you have resolutions for the next year? Yeah, man,
my resolution is to bleep 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 all the time.
Is that too personal?
Oh, baby. No. So I actually, you know, that's hilarious because it's gonna sound wrong now after leading up with that potentially, but it is centered around actually this. Okay, so this intention started actually, it's been in the works, but I think it really came to more fruition after starting my daily yoga challenge. It's just like a 23 minute video is roughly around how long it lasts. It's Yoga with Adrienne on YouTube. She's amazing. I just stumbled across her channel, and I found that she had a 30-day yoga challenge. I think I started it, was it like the day after Thanksgiving or something? And then she just said something that I really needed to hear. I've heard versions of this, but I really needed to hear it that day, where it was like, you know, just come to the mat. Just be here for 30 days. Come to the mat. That's all you have to do. If you feel achy or tired, or you can't do it, it's okay. Just sit on the mat for that time.
Yeah.
Just show up. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. I can just commit to rolling out my yoga mat every day. And then it was total chaos for a while, of course, because I'm like trying to do a plank and my daughter's jumping on my back, or, mm-hmm. you know, doing downward dog under me, which is so cute. I wish I had a camera of a video rather of.
Yeah.
When she did that. But I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to accept that these are not the perfect yoga conditions, but I want to do yoga anyway. So I'm going to do that, even if it's not very relaxing at times. And if I'm worried for my safety, jumps on my back. But I was like, I'm going to commit to this. And I made it to 30 days and I felt so much better on so many levels. It was also very humbling, because of how much harder certain moves for me were now than when I used to do it more regularly.
Yeah.
So, but I'm like, that's okay. I'm showing up. And then I've enjoyed it so much. So I went on to a different one of her. I just picked one of her other 30-day challenges. I couldn't decide if I wanted to do the same first 30 that I had picked, or this other 30. But anyway, I picked a different 30. And so I'm on day, I think, 44 now. And, well, it's gotten me more. Okay, the layers of the thoughts here is more in my body. Not like I wasn't like in my body before, but I think a lot. We think a lot, right? Yeah. And just kind of coming from a place of, what does my body need? What is my body telling me? And who does my body say that I am? And letting that lead more this year of, you know, I know where I want to get to go mostly. Like, I know my goals, I know this or that, but instead of just being in my head about it or making my grand plans or whatever, it's like, that's great. Okay. But like, let me look on the day. Let's look back on the day. Today, thoughts, stories, everything else aside, who did my body say that I was today? What was I actually doing? Let me watch my day on mute and see who am I based on that. And I realized too, which obviously, you know, we've talked about this before on the podcast at some point, that I'd gone through this time of feeling like super, super stuck because life circumstances really constricted a lot of what I was able to do.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the reasons when you and I started podcasting again, I think that's another one of the reasons why I felt so much like more of myself was because when I reflected back on the day, it was like my body was doing something that, like, I'm doing a podcast with one of my good friends in this like zone of comedian, actor, whatever, like how I've lived a lot of my life.
Yeah.
It's like my body is doing something that feels like me. That's not just mom mode. So I'm pretty excited about it. And but it also is very humbling too, because I can't like like there's no veneer. There's no like there's no, oh, but I meant to do this, or oh, but I was thinking of that. It's like, okay, so I don't need to know the story of why I skipped breakfast and then had McDonald's for lunch. Yeah. You know, it's like, well, what did that story tell me about? Like, what did my body tell me? Didn't feel good. It's too busy. Needs a little rest.
I've heard the thing about the mat thing makes sense, because I've heard someone talk about starting the gym. For someone to start, the first important thing is being to show up. So them driving to the place and walking in the door, and if that's all they could do, that's fine. But then the next day, come, walk, get to the changing room, and then, you know, and then be done. Yeah. Like, just keep showing up, just make it the habit of going there. And yeah, then eventually you will start moving on from there to do more, but to right, keep going.
And the importance of committing, the importance of committing to small steps.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I've heard the ladder thing too, right? You take the little, you climb up one rung at a time until you get to the top of the ladder. You can't just like leap up to the top, right? We need to get those little rungs. But
true.
And also, you know, somebody had pointed out, one of the lenders I work with, and she does social media coaching too. And she was just like, Samantha, just post a day, once a day, once a day. And you had told me before about doing TikTok before too. And I was like, TikTok. Oh no, I can't, you know? So, but I'm like, okay, like I've committed to doing my yoga once a day when I don't feel like it. I really don't, but I know I'm going to feel better afterwards. It's like, okay, I can commit to do, I got to work on my mindset about social media though, because it's not my typical personality type. So I'm like, I gotta work on that. And then, okay, but I can commit to do once a day. And what I also realized is I want to do these big productions, right? Like I want to film the house and like do a character or a song, or, you know, make it artistic and interesting. It's like, that's great, Samantha. And you could still have that. But right now you're showing up every day. That's the muscle. And then you can do the bigger things later. But you can't if you don't just like commit to the thing every day.
Right. You got to show up.
And here's the other part. It's like, ew, like show up and let yourself be crappy. I don't want to show up and let myself be crappy. I feel like maybe that's also showing us not being like teenagers right now, or like, you know, the mentality. I feel like the mentality that I grew up with and that I was taught was, you know, you make your mistakes in pencil, and when you're in person, you show up put together. Like, if you're a professional, to me, that's what seems wild. It seems wild to me to show up and not be totally perfect and presentable when I'm asking people to trust me with one of their most important decisions. To me, it's just like, why am I going to put some amateur crap out there then? Like, how are they going to trust me if I'm just figuring out social media? And also acknowledging the world is different right now. People want to see actual humans, and you're never going to get to where you want to go in creating your art, your content.
I mean, I'm blown out. I'm blown away that people are doing real like skits and stuff with big ass mics. And they're pretending that it's real. I'm like, obviously it's not real. You both have giant mics on you. You're not hiding it. Like, you have no sound guy with you.
Yeah.
You just have that on. Here's a theory I just thought of.
I am sorry. I am.
Let me get this. My theory real fast is people want to see those mistakes because it is the only proof that it is done by a human and it's a real person. It is the desire, the fight against AI is and robots and is a fight against perfection. And people value the mistakes that can be made. And they know that it's true, even if it's not authentic. That's what
okay,
I say.
I'm so sorry.
You got to go.
No. I thought I did. It's okay. So sorry. Okay. I do in a few minutes, though. I'm looking at the time now. I'm like, oh, actually, yeah. I do in a few minutes. I thought I had to go immediately, though. Right. Okay, anyway, I don't know if we're cutting anything.
I will now.
Oh, sweet. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, so that was... Well, you were telling me something, so please.
I was saying that I think the reason people like this imperfect stuff shot or recorded is it shows them that you are human.
Yeah.
Because AI can make things perfect.
Yes.
Or nearly perfect. And so you show when you make a mistake, they know it was done by a human. It was done not, it's not an AI thing. So yeah. I think people find that value.
I agree with you totally. I mean, and that is what I tell myself. But I didn't realize until talking about this with you right now, I'm like, oh, I realized that yoga is helping my mindset with me being okay with this, because when I get to the mat, I know I'm not going to force myself to touch my toes. Like some days I can, but when I started, I definitely couldn't, you know, like I know that I have to gradually build up to it. So it's like, yeah, I can kind of suck at this. That's fine. I just have to show up, and showing up is the win.
Yeah.
And so it's helped me understand with posting every day. It's like some of my posts are going to probably suck, and I'm sorry for that, people. But I have to show up. I have to commit to showing up. And the mixing personality with professionalism, that thing for me has always been a little bit weird anyway, just because.
When would you have ever done that?
Ever done what?
When would you have ever needed to mix the two?
Personality and professionalism?
Yeah.
I don't know. I started the topic and now I've lost it.
What other than stand up?
Huh?
I mean.
Oh, you mean because mostly it's just personal, not professional.
Most of them they're very separate on a lot of things, a lot of jobs.
That's a really good point. That is like light bulb moment. Yeah, because typically if I'd go into my office job, I would go and be really professional and not tell them about my outside activities. That sounds like, if you take a big pause and say, it sounds very suspect. No, but I wouldn't be showing up there like, hey, cracking jokes here.
Yeah. And I think you have the choice in something like real estate. You can either be the real estate agent and that is your entire personality, but that is your personality all the time. You are. Everywhere you go, you talk about real estate. You insert that into stuff where like that is what you live and breathe, and that's what you talk about. You can be that person, and you could probably make a living at that. Or you can be the person that people can relate to, and you can be the authentic person where people use you because they trust you and like you and root for you. And therefore, ideally more loyal to you. Both routes can happen, but you have to be in the right situation, I think, to be the real estate agent button down. You have to be in that environment that you're okay with that.
And I just don't think like that's not You know what it is, too? I think it's probably all the years of acting training. It's also like a breath or a fresh breath of air to be like, I'm not going to pick. I'll just be like, there's a place for everything. Like, I just don't want to pick, you know? Does that make like that's human, right? Like humans. Like that's humans. Like people don't just show up exactly the same to everything at all times. There's a little bit of change in human nature.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not on the same.
I have been
terrible.
It has been so long since I have not been my authentic self in any environment.
Yeah, but that's okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like I'm no, not. It's been so long since I've been in a job where I was professional.
I guess that's where yeah, I would.
And I'd be like, you can fire me. I don't care. Like I'm gonna. This is me.
And I get, you know, and that's where for me, I'm like, well, I wouldn't say that I wasn't being my authentic self. Sometimes I am potentially a little uptight rule follower with a notepad. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes I'm going to be like zenned out and, you know, sometimes dropping some F-bombs on here, apparently, you know?
Yeah.
So. You know, I don't know.
That's what's gonna happen. That's just what's gonna happen. But hey, we both have to get places and do things and rocket ships to park. It's good checking in with you again. Happy New Year! Welcome Happy to the year, year of the year of the horse.
The year of the horse.
Ride along. I feel like there should be a good stallion joke. If you could open each show with that, just a this nay.
With a nay, yeah.
Nay, welcome to the... it's like a little mm-hmm. Wookiee-ish. I like that. Oh. All right, Black and a Half.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the longest-running comedy podcast in Seattle, probably. Yes. This is Black and a Half, hosted by Silas Lindenstein and Samantha Rund. Black and a Half.